Welcome. I'm Rose Aguilar, and this is Your Call. The number of deaths from COVID-19 in the United States officially passed 100,000 yesterday. This comes just 4 months after the country's first known case was confirmed. According to The Guardian, at least 12 of the top 25 COVID hotspots in the U.S. are linked to meat processing plants. At least 232 meat packing and food processing plants have had COVID-19 outbreaks, according to an updated tracker from the Food and Environment Reporting Network. More than 18,000 workers at those plants have been infected with the virus, and at least 73 workers have died. But we really don't know the true numbers because a lot of these plants are not disclosing the numbers and they are not required to disclose the numbers. Earlier this week, we started a series about the largest animal processing multinationals in the world. On Tuesday, we talked about Smithfield and JBS. Yesterday, we talked about Tyson and Cargill. Well, today we are joined by members of the Children of Smithfield. This is a group of sons and daughters that was born during COVID out of a common concern for the health and safety of their parents, who are employees of Smithfield Foods. The group says, "We advocate for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers." Smithfield is the largest pork processor in the world. According to Reuters, last year, Smithfield reported a 32% jump in profits, totaling $1.3 billion. In April, Smithfield's plant in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, became the number one COVID hotspot in the U.S. Last month, the Rural Community Workers Alliance and an anonymous employee filed a lawsuit in the U.S. District Court for Western District of Missouri, alleging horrific working conditions during the pandemic. The suit asked the court to order Smithfield to improve working conditions. Joining us now are two members of the Children of Smithfield. Dulce Castaneda is a 26-year-old who helps lead the group in Crete, Nebraska. Dulce is passionate about social justice, particularly as it relates to immigrant and workers' rights. Her advocacy is inspired by her parents, who are immigrants from Mexico. Dulce's father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years, and Dulce works as a legal assistant with a private law firm. Hi, Dulce. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Absolutely. Thanks for having me.
We are also joined by Linda. Linda has asked to remain anonymous for the privacy of her family. Linda is also part of the Children of Smithfield. Linda moved to the United States when she was seven with her parents and siblings. Her father has been working at Smithfield for almost 20 years. Linda is a teacher and advocate for her students, and since the start of the pandemic, she's advocated for her father and all meatpacking workers. She believes that all essential workers deserve essential protections. Hi, Linda. Thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Rose. Thanks for inviting us.
Well, it's great to have both of you. Why don't you talk a little bit about how the group, the Children of Smithfield, came about? You are now doing regular protests. In fact, I think you have one scheduled for this weekend. Dulce, talk about how this group came about.
Yeah, so initially, all of us in the group sort of knew each other. We live in a small community here in Nebraska, so we were all kind of venting and posting our frustrations on social media. And so as we began to realize that we all had, you know, the same concerns, we started forming this group, became just a Facebook thread at first about what can we do? What are some tangible solutions that we can advocate for? And so that slowly grew into raising awareness, reaching out to media outlets, and now it's become more political advocacy that we're doing. And so that was kind of how things started out.
And Linda, what would you add? And if you can talk about your experience with the group.
Yeah, so I know Dulce from high school, and so she's the one who kind of invited me to join this group. And when I was asked, I felt, you know, the need to, because my family was really scared, and my dad specifically, who works there. And on top of what Dulce has said, we're just advocating for our family and our community.
Can you tell us more about the community? Because here in San Francisco and so many cities across the country, there is no meat processing plant. There's no connection to meat workers. So Dulce, tell us a little bit about what your community is like.
Yeah, so our community is about 7,400 people. And Smithfield here in Crete employs about 2,100 workers. So that's a large portion of our community. It really is, I always say, the backbone of our local economy. And so when it employs so many people, you know, a lot of people just look to that for support and for being able to provide for their families. You know, starting wages at Smithfield are about $15.25. And that's a stark difference from the state's minimum wage, which is $9. So, I mean, it's a stable employment. It provides for many families, and, you know, that's many working class families are you know, able to provide for their families in this way.
So the pay starts at about $15. Dulce, your father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. Do workers get raises on a yearly basis?
They do. So after decades of working, workers can make upwards of $20 an hour. So definitely, yes, that would be a stark difference. If he were to start, my father were to start another job somewhere else, he would definitely not be making, you know, what he's making now.
What about benefits?
So they do have full benefits, insurance, 401k, the option of life insurance. You know, just full benefits for them, for the workers and their families.
And what would you add, Linda? What would you like us to know about your community?
Yeah, so I think because we work at a near meatpacking plant, our community is very close. I think the reason we have been able to form such a strong group and strong leaders is we just have such a feeling of togetherness and a family, even though, you know, maybe we're not related. We just want to protect our family, and we think of each other as our own.
What has this been like for both of you? Because meat processing plants and workers' conditions really don't get that much attention. I mean, there are some long features, but it's not consistent like this. Whereas over the last couple of years, we've done so many shows and there have been so much attention around teacher strikes, fast food workers, the fight for 15. But in many ways, meatpacking workers just don't get that much attention, and now they are. So what has that been like for you, Dulce? And what are your thoughts about the coverage overall?
Yeah, so I think working conditions in the meatpacking plants, they've always been an issue. They're always exposed. They always have hazards. And it really has not gotten the attention really it deserves until now, I would say, with the pandemic. But I think that the issue has always been there. I think it's just exasperated by, you know, them having to be essential workers now. And so, you know, what we've really been trying to say and advocate is that they're not just essential workers. They're not just providing labor. They're also essential human beings. Mm-hmm. And so they deserve to be protected and the respect and all the protections that the government can and should be giving them.
I think this is such a great point. These workers are invisible for the most part. You know, people want their cheap meat. They don't often make the connection to workers, but every single worker has a story. Every worker, you know, has a family. I mean, unfortunately, this is what it takes to kind of focus on that, Dulce. I mean, what does your father think about all the coverage that this is getting?
Yeah, so he's definitely not used to seeing, you know, meatpacking workers, particularly largely from an immigrant background, and people of color being in the center of all of this. And so I think that coverage has really made him think differently about the importance that he and his labor both have in our nation's food supply process.
Linda, what would you add? What are your thoughts about how the media are covering this?
Yeah, I think the pandemic and media has really just been eye-opening, you know, to see these meat packaging workers, like, just more personal. And the idea of being able to, like, spotlight them and knowing that even, you know, now we think of them as essential, but they have always been essential. We just haven't seen them, you know, be in the light, and they have been invisible, like you said. Dulce and I talk in our community of Crete, we talk about how beautiful the community is and how there are so many positive things going on. And we never wanted it to have this light shown like now during the pandemic, but we hope that because of it, we are advocating for them and that there will be positivity moving forward.
Linda, what does your dad think of all of the media coverage?
Yeah, I think my dad, he's kind of, he shies away from attention. He's just kind of like a man with very few words, but he's definitely been really worried. He doesn't say it, but you can tell in his, you know, eyes. And when he comes home, he's stressed. And just there's a lot of worry going on. But he's happy that it's getting coverage. He knows it's important that people see what's happening at the plant.
On today's Your Call, we are continuing our series on the largest animal processing plants in the world, and we're speaking with members of the Children of Smithfield. This is a group of sons and daughters that was born during COVID out of a common concern for the health and safety of their parents, who are employees at Smithfield Foods, the largest pork processor in the world. Last year, they reported a 32% jump in profits, totaling $1.3 billion, according to Reuters. The Children of Smithfield are advocating for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers. We're joined by Dulce Castaneda, a 26-year-old who helps lead the group. Dulce's father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. We're also joined by Linda, and her father has worked at Smithfield for almost 20 years. If you have any questions for Dulce or Linda, we'd love to hear from you. The toll-free number is 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. And if you'd like to talk about how maybe your opinion of just the whole industry has really been affected or changed because of all of this coverage, you know, what thoughts do you have on that? You can also email us yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. I'd like to spend some time, if you both don't mind, just talking about your stories. Dulce, your father has worked at Smithfield in Crete, Nebraska for 25 years, and I read in the Omaha World Herald that your mom also worked there when you were a child, but she had to stop because the repetitive hacking motions required to slice pork injured her wrists. Over the last couple of days, really in the last couple of months, Dulce, we've had journalists on who talk about just how difficult this work is. So can you just tell us a little bit first about your mom and her experience?
Yeah, so my mom did work at the Smithfield, and she has numerous times I've heard her say I would never go back there no matter how much they paid me because of all the things that she had to endure while she was there. So she did hurt her wrist while she was working there. She stopped working there, and luckily she found a better job that's safer for her. And so my father did continue to work there. I see him come home tired, exhausted, body aches, headaches. You know, it's always the same. He'll fall asleep for a couple of hours in the afternoon because his shift starts very early in the morning. He wakes up around 4 in the morning, gets home around 3 p.m. So they're long shifts, long hours. They stand in one spot for 8 to 10 hours a day, sometimes 12. And so all of that has really taken a toll on his body. He's developed some health conditions because of his work at Smithfield, we believe.
What does he do at the plant?
So my father works in the ham bone department. So he's in charge of deboning one of the parts of the bone that's in the meat. And so then that gets sent to a different department, and they continue to process it there.
And he's been working there for 25 years. I mean, has he had any, you know, in addition to the pain, has he had to go to the doctor to deal with any of these issues?
Yes. Yeah, so he has actually developed some circulation issues. So he has problems with his veins now and in his lower legs because, you know, being able to stand in one spot all day, that doesn't really help in terms of circulation. So his blood definitely isn't circulating the way it should. So he's definitely had to go to the doctor for various visits on that. Mm.
What about you, Linda? What does your father do at the Smithfield plant? He's been working there for almost 20 years.
Yeah, so he was part of another department, JBO, but now his current job right now is on the kill floor, and I believe he does packaging for them.
And how has this affected his body and overall health?
Yeah, so I think overall he just has, just as Dulce said, he comes home with body aches and just a lot of back issues. But I don't think he has underlying health problems that we know of right now. But he's coming home recently because of the pandemic, just under a lot of stress and just headaches every day. And these headaches are leading him to wonder if it's, the virus or if it's something else, or just the stress that's been placed on him during this time.
Have people at his plant gotten sick from COVID?
Yeah, so I think unfortunately, we've had to... employees pass away there, and he knew one very well for the last 15 or so years in his department.
What has that been like for him and his friends and colleagues to lose fellow workers and friends?
Yeah, I think it's been really sad. Again, my dad's in a few words, but you can just tell just the pressure he's been facing and the stress he's had to go through, and kind of feeling alone in it in some way, because while we're there with him and we're his family, we're not there we're not at work with him. We don't see what it's like. And but we're definitely supportive, although it's been very hard.
What has changed at the plant, Linda? A number of the journalists that we've had on over the past couple of months say that the workers, they're so close together, it's really hard to physically distance, and a lot of workers still do not have the proper protective gear that they need. What is the situation like for your dad, and what's going on at his plant?
Yeah, in terms of our plant, I know there's hand sanitizing stations. They get a mask every day and a face shield when they walk in. And I think that's the main thing. They have these separators between them that are plastic, but again, the distancing, they're not slowing down production. They're distancing. They're just still as close as they have been before. And thinking about other places in which they can't social distance, like the lunchroom, the locker rooms, and the bathrooms, those are still remain areas where there's problems for social distancing. And when people are like, well, it's up to them, they really don't have a say. They don't have a choice to keep apart from each other when there's limited space and they're required for work.
Dulce, what's it been like for your dad?
Yeah, so he definitely has referenced the face masks, the face shields that they've been given. Again, it took a long time for those to be implemented. That wasn't until late May that they started handing those out. At that point, there were close to already 100 cases. And so some of the measures that have been installed, such as the plexiglass barriers, the hand sanitizing stations, some of those things have just taken, weeks to get implemented. And so while that may be helping a little bit, I think the outbreak happened before any of that was put into place. And so it's hard to control at that point.
And your dad, has he lost friends?
So he did. He knew both of the workers who passed away. They weren't close friends of him, but he referred to them as colleagues and just community members that he knew.
Mm. We have an email from Art. He says, "Can you talk about the potential for creating solidarity between yourselves and other workers who are similarly situated? Meatpacking workers like your father's, nursing home workers, healthcare workers, other workers who all have one thing in common, corporations exploiting them and putting their lives at risk against their will." Dulce, I was on your Facebook Children of Smithfield page, and it was interesting just to read in real time about children of other workers that you might not know saying, "Oh, I want to join," or, "Oh, you should connect with this person." Can you just talk about what that's been like and the potential for creating solidarity with other workers in different industries?
Yeah, absolutely. So we've definitely gotten bits and we've tried to connect with work solidarity group members from other states even. We've reached out to folks in Iowa and South Dakota. And so I think it's telling that, we're unifying for this cause, and it extends past state border lines, of course. And so I think one of the things is we generally have advocated for hazard pay for all workers, not just meatpacking workers. And I think the protections that we asked for definitely extend beyond the meatpacking plants. The event we have scheduled for this Sunday, which is a statewide solidarity event at the state capitol, it will encompass a multitude of issues. So we will advocate for essential workers. We have senators lined up to speak and willing to support the cause. There'll also be speakers on other issues as well. So I think it's telling that we're starting to see solidarity, this intersectional solidarity across many of the issues that we're experiencing now.
Linda, what would you add?
Yeah, I think speaking to that email, this exploitation of these big corporations, I think it's been really revealing for everybody that know the meatpacking plants well or who don't. Reading social media and seeing like local farmers talking about how they sell to the corporations and how much money they make versus the farmers themselves. It's been really eye-opening, even from my perspective. So.
Well, thank you for that question. Art also has another question. What are your thoughts about consumers threatening to boycott Smithfield or create some other strategy based on empathy and cooperation between the meatpacking workers, their families, and the people who buy their products? Dulce, what would you say to that?
Yeah, so we've actually gotten some requests for us to begin advocating for boycotts. That's not something that we have advocated for. And while we understand the reasons that people might choose to, we haven't done so because at the same time, while we realize that these folks aren't working in the best conditions, we also realize that these are our parents' jobs. And so they're also at the center of this, and we have to take into consideration what's best for them and whether, if a boycott would risk their jobs, really, and put that in danger. So we've had to weigh kind of our compassion and empathy with worker voices and what they want and what they need as well.
Mm. Linda?
Yeah, my, dad's job has provided my family with, income, and it's the reason that my brothers and I have been able to go through college and get an education and be in a place where we can advocate for them. And so I also don't know if boycotting is the way that we are going to go about our group, but I understand for some groups it's feeling like a last resort because they don't feel like they're being heard.
Well, thank you for the email, Art. Today, we are continuing our series on the largest animal processing plants in the world. Tuesday, we talked about Smithfield and JBS. Yesterday, we talked about Tyson and Cargill. You can find those shows at yourcallradio.org. Today, we are talking with members of the Children of Smithfield. This is a group of sons and daughters that was born during COVID out of a common concern for the health and safety of their parents who work at Smithfield. They advocate for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers. Dulce Castaneda is one of the leaders of the group. Her father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. Linda is also part of the group, and her father has been working at Smithfield for almost 20 years. This is Your Call. We'll be back after this.
This is Your Call on KALW, a show that relies on engaged listeners. You can join today's conversation by calling 866-798-TALK. That's toll free, 866-798-TALK. 8255. And you can post a comment or question on the website yourcallradio.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. How do American students feel about now that school is out for real? That'll be the topic on 1A today at 11 o'clock, right after Your Call here on this station.
This is Your Call. I'm Rose Aguilar. Today we are speaking with members of the Children of Smithfield. This is a group that advocates for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers. We're joined by Dulce Castaneda. She helps lead the group Children of Smithfield out of Crete, Nebraska. Dulce's father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. Her mom worked there when she was a child, but she had to stop because the repetitive hacking motions required to slice pork injured her wrist. We're also joined by Linda, a member of the Children of Smithfield. Linda's father has worked at Smithfield for almost 20 years. And if you have any questions for Linda or Dulce, we'd love to hear from you. 866-798-8255. What will it take to get justice for meat processing plant workers? You can also email yourcall@kalw.org or tweet us at yourcallradio. You know, Dulce and Linda, just looking at how long your fathers have worked at Smithfield, I wonder, Dulce, when will your father, or when does he want to retire? And when he does, will he have a pension and benefits for the rest of his life?
Right. So my father is going on 58 years old, and he has talked about how he doesn't want to wait until he's 65 to retire. I think he wants to be able to enjoy his grandchildren and enjoy his life before reaching that age. And so he's talked about what his plans are for after retirement, and hopefully he thinks that it won't be too far along from now.
And will he get a pension?
So I know that he has a savings plan set up. I don't know the specifics of what he's all signed up for right now, but I know that he has savings.
And what about you, Linda? Your dad has worked there for almost 20 years. What are his plans?
Yeah, so my dad's about 52 years old, so he technically has a few more years before retirement. But he's only, because it has been such an exhausting, gruesome work, he's thinking of being done with work in a few years and going back to his home back in, country by mainland China. And so he's thinking of going back home and spending time with his parents, which are my grandparents, that are getting older and older.
Well, Linda, would you mind telling us about your parents' story and your story? You immigrated to the United States when you were just 7 with your parents and your siblings, and then your dad started working at Smithfield shortly thereafter. Can you tell us about your immigration journey and then how your dad came to Nebraska and learned about Smithfield?
So my dad had a friend who had already came to the United States and when he was little, and he had been working at a plant in Kansas, I believe. And he heard about the work that was, he heard about a job opportunity here in Crete, Nebraska. And I think he inquired with his friend about it. I think they had meetings with the company. And so when I was 7, my dad came over to the United States for a little bit. And eventually he was able to work out a visa before he came back to get my family off of mainland China, and we came here with my 2 sibling brothers. He only had about $100-some in his pockets when we were leaving on the plane. We packed everything up. We said goodbye to all my family members, which including my grandparents, aunts and uncles, and cousins who are still back in our home country today. And but we came to Crete, Nebraska in 2001, shortly after 9/11 happened, and we've been here since then. So yeah, kind of the start of it.
And what memories do you have about your dad going off to work at Smithfield and then coming home? What memories stick out for you as a child?
Yeah, so I think I really threw myself at school since it was just such a new environment, and was learning English. I was making friends, but I think just remembering how early my dad work woke up and just how late he came home. I didn't really see him too much. I mean, besides maybe weekends sometimes, and usually he would even work Saturday. So really the only day I saw him for the entire day was Sunday. But just, really long hours, sometimes up to 10, 12-hour days.
Linda, you reminded me, we did a show about farm workers, and we had the daughter of a farm worker on, and she said the exact same thing. She said, unfortunately, I just didn't get to spend that much time with my mom because she worked so much, and she was so tired that the free time that she did have, she was mostly resting.
Right, yeah, and so my dad would rest. That sounds just so mine, sorry. But yeah, my dad would rest, and he'd come home, and he was tired. But I think he definitely did his best. We took, when he got vacation time in the summer, we would travel to, you know, do road trips across the country while we were waiting for our green card and our citizenship to arrive.
And now you're a teacher?
Yes, I am. What? I'm a high school math teacher.
Wow, that's a really incredible story. And this wasn't that long ago, Linda. I mean, 2001. Right.
So, yeah, not that long ago when I was a little girl and came here to the U.S. and, you know, kind of started a new life here.
That is Linda. She is a member of the Children of Smithfield, and her father has been working there at Smithfield in Nebraska for almost 20 years. Let's talk a little bit about your story, Dulce. Can you talk more about your parents' immigration story from Mexico to the U.S. and how they ended up in Nebraska?
Absolutely. So my father came over to the U.S. In the early 90s. He was married to my mom, and they had two children. I was not born yet at that time. So when he was able to find some more stable employment here in Nebraska, he brought over our family as well. And so he actually started out in California. He's always kind of worked in the agricultural industry. He worked in picking avocados in the fields of California. He worked at some other meat packaging plants across the state here in Nebraska, and at some point he was in Texas as well. So this was all kind of prior to settling down really here in Nebraska. We were in Grand Island for a bit, in Grand Island, Nebraska. That's where I was born, and he worked at a meat packaging plant there. When he found something that was a little bit of a better opportunity for him, he came here to Crete, and so that's what really drove him and our family to this town.
What are some of your memories from childhood and your dad working at the meatpacking plant?
Yeah, so I remember him, I know my mom making him lunch in the late evening every day so that he would be able to take that with him the next day early in the morning, or she would wake up very early to make him some breakfast and see him off to work. I remember that I just seeing him come home every day tired, as I mentioned, him falling asleep for maybe an hour or two so he can catch up on some rest. And then he tries to stay active, and I think that's helped him and with his health. He's an active body, so he'll do a lot of housework, and he tries to do things outside in the garden and in the yard as well. So I know that he does that, and he has some other hobbies aside from work. But I know that they've always been very supportive of me and my siblings and our dreams and what we want to pursue. So my sister and I were both fortunate to go off to college, and my brother joined the military, and he's a U.S. Marine, and so he's been on duty for many years now, but yeah, they've been able to see their children live out the American dream, and so that was the goal from the beginning. So we try to do right by them.
And Linda, you're now a legal assistant with a law firm.
Oh yes, I do work for a private.
I'm sorry, Dulce. Yeah. That is Dulce Castaneda. Dulce leads as one of the leaders of the group Children of Smithfield in Crete, Nebraska. Her father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. Linda is a member of Children of Smithfield. Her father has worked there for almost 20 years. And they, along with other sons and daughters and family members of workers have formed a group to advocate for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers. And if you'd like to join us, if you have any questions or comments for Dulce or Linda, you can give us a call at 866-798-8255, 866-798-8255. You can also email yourcall@kalw.org. or tweet us at Your Call Radio. I'd like to ask you both what changes you would like to see. Over the last couple of months, we've talked about how these major corporations have bought up a lot of small ones. And so now you have a company like Smithfield. Their profits last year were $1.3 billion. These are major multinationals with massive, massive profits. And yet, as we've been hearing, the workers still do not have the proper protection that they need. Dulce, it's great to hear that your father has, made enough money to provide for the family and actually does have benefits. In so many instances, that is not the case. But let's spend some time just talking about the changes that you're all fighting for.
Yeah, absolutely. So I think some of the things that we started advocating for at the start, I think some of that has changed because, as we all know, this is a very dynamic situation. And so at first what we really wanted was to ensure that folks would be getting paid sick leave, that they would be paying their workers hazard pay. And so as some of those things have begun to unfold, we're now asking for full paid sick leave because there's been some issues there in the company requiring workers to take disability, short-term or long-term, or vacation time. And so that shouldn't be the case. They should be getting full paid sick leave. And so we're also asking for continuous sanitation of work areas, more PPE for workers, having also a way to confidentially be able to report workplace hazards in a confidential manner. There's lots of things we'd like to see. We'll continue to advocate for a minimum of 6 feet distance between workers, something that still has not been implemented. We know that that's the most effective form of trying to curb COVID-19, and the CDC has recommended that that's the best way, and so that still has not been implemented, so we continue to advocate for that. We want more widespread testing and availability, and I think more than anything what we want is transparent data, transparent information from the company, because they're still not informing employees when they've been in contact or when they've been exposed to workers who have tested positive. And so that contact tracing is not being done effectively. And so I think workers should have access to that. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, this is important. The New York Times ran a piece this week called "As Meatpacking Plants Reopen, Data About Worker Illness Remains Elusive." Smithfield is still being secretive about data. The piece says, quote, "Meat companies are not legally required to disclose how many workers are sick, but legal experts say privacy is not a valid reason for keeping the numbers from the public." This month, Governor Pete Ricketts of Nebraska announced that the state would not disclose the number of coronavirus cases in specific meat plants without the consent of the companies, end quote. So Dulce, you've got the company not releasing the data, and then the governor of Nebraska saying the state would not disclose the data.
Right, and we actually jumped on a call with Governor Ricketts last week and asked him that specific question, why he had decided to withhold that data from the public. And he said that it was because workers were lying about where they were working. And so we asked him, about how many workers do you think were lying? And he had no answer for us. He doesn't know how many workers are lying, or we have no it seems like there's no basis to that claim, and we don't know why workers would lie about their employer. And so we asked, where are workers supposed to turn if the company's not being transparent, if the government's not being transparent? Where should they turn to for this information? And in many instances, they're having to turn to each other amongst themselves to inform each other when they've tested positive or when they've been at risk, and so they're having to do their own contact tracing. And that should not be the case.
They're doing their own contact tracing. And this is, wow. Linda, what are your thoughts, first off, on the fact that the company is not being open about its data, and then the governor of Nebraska says the state is not going to disclose the number of cases in meat plants without the consent of the company?
Yeah, I think, to be honest, this is probably the most frustrating, if I had to name one of the most frustrating things during, right now and during this pandemic, was that decision to stop reporting numbers. It's terrible. It's upsetting. It's just awful. Not knowing, who has it, how many people, and whether they should be shutting down because of the widespread of this virus. And the number of our county, which encompasses Crete, Nebraska, Saline County, is up to over 400 some cases. And while we don't know specifically how many is coming from the plant, we have a pretty good idea that most of them are, or at least it came through there and has spread through the community. And we really don't know, who else to turn to get those numbers. There's been complaints filed with OSHA, and we're hoping something is done there. But the most frustrating thing right now is just Smithfield not willing to be transparent about what's going on and the number of cases they have. Also just their decision-making. At one point, maybe a month ago, they were supposed to shut down for 2 weeks, and when they told their workers, and then they decided to not shut down for 2 weeks sanitation and go to half days. And just about a week or two ago, they went back to full days. And so just this, going back and forth, revealing numbers, not revealing numbers, closing, not closing, paid leave, not paid leave. It's just been messy and overall frustrating to be in this situation.
Right. And journalists have told us that OSHA has not shown up for inspections at several plants or has been absent altogether. Dulce, can you talk about the history of worker violations or workers' rights problems that your dad has experienced? Have you seen many changes over the years?
Right. So I think something that he references often is line speeds, and line speeds are always too fast. When the inspectors come by, the company's informed that the inspections will be happening. And so coincidentally, those days at those specific times, the line speeds are running normal. And so some of those things are, the company will show what they want inspectors and outside folks to see. So we worry about worker safety in the times when the inspections aren't happening. And so, to my knowledge, OSHA has not conducted any inspections at any meatpacking plants across the nation. And so that is worrisome, because if the government is saying that's OSHA's responsibility, then where has OSHA been in all of this?
Exactly. We're going to do a show about this in the coming weeks. Do you have anything to add, Linda, about the changes that your dad has seen? The line speed is really important, because under the Trump administration, I mean, these companies, have a lot of influence, both at the federal, state, and local levels. And they're constantly trying to increase the line speed, which puts a lot more pressure on workers.
Right. And I think just to stress the idea of just, right, like the transparency and how they are, when they do have inspections, before the pandemic at least, that they were just, kind of putting on a show for them when it need to be, and going back to the way that they've always ran things, which is really fast, really very little breaks, very fast lines. Just it's exhausting. And I've been told that too. They've been asked to work faster, and if they're too slow, they could have get reprimanded for those things.
That is Linda. She's a member of the Children of Smithfield. Her dad has worked at a Smithfield plant in Nebraska for almost 20 years. Dulce Castaneda is one of the leaders of the group, the Children of Smithfield. Her dad has worked at a Smithfield plant for nearly 25 years. When she was younger, her mom worked there, but she had to stop because the repetitive hacking motions required to slice pork injured her wrist. Let's hear from a caller. Let's go to Robin in San Francisco. Hi, Robin. Welcome to the show.
Hi, can you hear me all right?
Yes.
Hi. First of all, thank you both so much, Dulce and Linda, for being on and sharing your story. I really, really appreciate it. And hearing this, I've just been thinking about the raids that we have heard about in Mississippi last year and Tennessee the year before that, the largest ICE raids in history. And I've just been thinking about that, like how those have been used in the past as a means of retaliation at times from meat processing plants. So I'm wondering, at the time, did you and your communities have any, talk about those raids at all, or do you think about that now? Thank you.
Yeah, thank you so much, Robin. Dulce?
Right, so that was in reference to ICE raids?
Yes.
If I'm understanding correctly. Okay. Yeah, so ICE raids have happened here in Nebraska. They've happening in Grand Island. They've happened in other communities. And so we've always, I think, been vigilant and aware of those things. And we know, and, you never know when that could happen in your community. And I think I used to work for local government, for the city of Crete, actually. And so that was something that I was always very aware of. Many of the clients who I had were Smithfield employees. And so just being, aware that I could come in at any point and take someone and it's happened before. Workers have witnessed people, I come in and take certain workers, not a full on raid, but, a few or a group of workers. And so that's worrisome. And, yeah, it's a difficult situation. It's happened before. It could happen again.
Mm. Linda, what would you add?
Yeah, I think that's definitely another issue on top of, what is happening now and just letting people see, there's so many things they have had to worry about, just how essential they are to the industry and our meat industry here in the United States.
Thank you so much, Robin. That is such an important issue. I feel like we're so focused on COVID. We're slowly starting to cover other issues, but bringing ICE raids into this is so important. So thank you so much for that. I wanted to make sure that we remember a Smithfield worker who recently died of COVID. Earlier this month, NBC reported that Vi Mai, whose aunt and uncle work at the Smithfield Crete plant, sent a message to Smithfield online to tell them that her grandfather, Tam Mai, recently died of COVID. Tam lived with Vi's aunt and uncle. They both got COVID at the plant. And she wrote to Smithfield, quote, "I want you to know he died in the hospital alone, isolated and scared. No one in my family was able to say goodbye to him. I want you to know that we are not able to have a proper burial for him because of risk of infection," end quote. And Vi said that she was really disappointed with Smithfield's response because it just felt like they copied and pasted it. And I just want to acknowledge this. I mean, every day we're talking about people who have passed. And like we said earlier in the show, Dulce, all of these workers have stories, they have families. And it's just really important to focus on that. Actually, there's a new service called Brute, and they interviewed Vi, and we're going to put that on our website. And just please take the time to watch it, because Vi's story really needs to be shared. Dulce, do you have any comments on that?
Yeah, so I know Amy, or some folks from our group reached out to V after the story came out and after her post sort of went viral. And since then, we've incorporated her into our group. She's been very gracious, and she's very, very intelligent, very willing, and she's going through a lot right now. But we appreciate her and her voice and her being so willing to share her story. But We've told her that we continue to stand by her. We want to help her honor her grandfather's memory. And I think that's something that we have extended to families who have lost loved ones here in Crete due to COVID. And we've said that if it were to happen to anyone else, we would extend the same to them as well. So we hope it does not happen and it doesn't get to that point where we have to lose another worker, another person. But if it were to happen, we would stand by them.
In our final minute, Linda, what changes do you want to see? What are you planning to work on in the coming weeks and months?
Yeah, so I think the biggest thing is slowing down lines. I think the transparency will always be our biggest issue moving forward right now. And hoping that widespread testing and that there's availability for that, because we're not seeing a lot of that going forward. And just, you know, workers returning to work, positive, negative, we're not even sure at this point what's happening.
And for people who would like to get involved with what you're doing and express solidarity, what's the best way they can do that?
I think message. Go ahead, Dulce.
Sorry to interrupt. I think, you know, we're pretty active on our Facebook page, Children of Smithfield. You can contact us there directly, and we're happy to respond. And yeah.
Well, thank you both so much for joining us. Thanks for your work, and we would love to have you on again to get updates. Dulce Castaneda is one of the leaders of the group Children of Smithfield in Crete, Nebraska. It's a group of sons and daughters that was born during COVID out of a common concern for the health and safety of their parents who work at Smithfield. They advocate for workers' rights and better working conditions for all meatpacking workers. Dulce's father has worked at Smithfield for nearly 25 years. Dulce, thank you so much for joining us.
Absolutely. Thanks again for having me.
Linda is also part of Children of Smithfield. Linda's father has worked at Smithfield for almost 20 years. Linda is now a high school teacher and an advocate for her students. Linda believes all essential workers deserve essential protections. Linda, thank you so much for joining us.
Yep. Thank you, Rose, for inviting me.
Thank you. And if you missed our shows earlier this week about JBS and Smithfield, we actually had a question about Smithfield and who owns them. In May 2013, the WH Group, the largest meat producer in China, bought Smithfield for $4.7 billion. Smithfield is now the world's largest pig processing company. So I wanted to answer that question, and thank you for calling in. You can find our show about Smithfield and JBS at yourcallradio.org. And then yesterday we talked about Tyson and Cargill. Huge thanks to Leah Cesarine for producing all of these shows. They're so important. Thanks to Kevin Vance and David LaTulipe, who are keeping our studio going. And I hope you can join us for tomorrow's Media Roundtable. We will be talking about China's national security legislation for Hong Kong and about corporations and Wall Street. They've benefited from the government's massive rescue efforts. Thank you for joining us. I'm Rose Aguilar. It's your call.